Well, good morning to you this Thursday morning. Again, our reading is from Hebrews 12 and 2, when the writer of the Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, just three words. We've taken this little verse of scripture because we know how easily it is to get our eyes off Christ. We see individuals in the past, biblical characters, godly men, godly women, and they didn't always stay focused on the Lord. But we learn lessons through them. Peter got distracted, Matthew 14, we noted that. Elijah in 1 Kings 18, 19 got discouraged, especially in verse 19, or chapter 19, sorry. But today, not as an individual, but as a collective group of people, we think of the children of Israel. We know that Israel were the apple of God's eye. They were God's people. They were his own, dare I say it, they were elect nation. And this morning we can identify with them in so many ways. We can identify with them in the fact that we were a people that were not a people, but have been brought together. And we're glad today to know that we've been brought into the family of God. They were a people that sadly went through a cycle that you and I can also identify with. A cycle that were, dare I say it, like the wheel of a bicycle, where they begin in fellowship with God at 12 o'clock. They enjoy intimacy, they enjoy knowing God's word, knowing God's blessing, and then sadly, because of indifference and apathy, they stray away from the things of God, and God raises up a prophet, God raises up a man of God, and sometimes even a woman of God, and uses that individual to challenge the people of God, call them to repentance, so they might experience restoration in their lives. And that's exactly what happens through that man and woman of God, or woman of God. God, say roughly around 6 o'clock, that man comes, that woman comes, speaks the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. The people listen, they take note, and they bring through it, their repentance comes, and then lo and behold, we get up near 11 o'clock, restoration happens in Israel's lives, and within the house, the nation, and then thank the Lord, 12 o'clock appears when top of the wheel again, we're there enjoying intimacy and fellowship and the blessing of God. You and I have often like that in our lives. Churches like that, this cycle that goes on and on and on, but yet God remains faithful to his people. And the day in this new day, don't ever forget that God remains faithful to his own. He always shall and he always will. But if today the children of Israel, a little thought I just want to leave with you is the fact that they had a disregard for the things of God or for God himself. Put it whatever you want. Our reading is in Ezekiel 20 and verse 10. Let me read it to you today, just very quickly. Therefore I made them to go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, and I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, and that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Three simple little thoughts today. The first being that for the children of Israel, what did they disregard? And that word disregard means to forget or to be forgetful. What did the children of Israel forget? That is the big question. First of all, I want to say to you, I believe that they forgot where God had brought them from. He says in verse 10, he says, wherefore I caused them to go up out of the land of Egypt. Now, Egypt was known as the house of bondage. While they were in Egypt, they were under Pharaoh's command. They were under his rule. They were under his domain. He was the controller of them. He was the master of them. Now, the Bible tells us that if we're not in the family of God, we have another master. We have another commander. And the Bible tells us that there in this world, there are only two families. One is the family of God. And then in John 8, it talks about ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do, indicating that there's another family, and that family being those who are outside the kingdom of God, who to whom the devil himself is their family. And today, maybe as you listen here, tune in, maybe today you're not in the family of God, and you wonder why you struggle with sin, you battle with sin, and you've made so many, dare I say it, resolutions and determinations that you're going to leave your sin behind, and you just seem to be constantly captivated by it. Israel was in the exact same position until God raised them up, a savior, a deliverer, an emancipator, someone to set them free. Can I tell you something today? There is a man whom God has not only raised up, he didn't raise him up, he sent him down. His name was Jesus. and he came to set you free, to be your emancipator. And for those of us this morning who are the children of God, we rejoice and we don't want to forget the fact of where God has brought us from. He has brought us out of the house of bondage. He has brought us out of our Egypt to set us free. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 40? He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. Many shall see it, shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Folks, today, as we begin this new Thursday morning, let's not be like Israel. Let's not forget where he has brought us from. But let's rejoice in the fact that he has saved us and he has redeemed us by his own precious blood. Let me say to you secondly and very quickly, they disregarded what he had given to them. What had God given to them? Well, it tells us in verse 11 that I gave them my statutes and my judgments. He also goes on and talks about giving them the Sabbaths. What is a statute and what is a judgment? Adam Clark writes, he said, I gave them my statutes. I showed them what they should do in order to be safe, comfortable, wise, and happy. what they should avoid in order to be uninjured in body, mind, and possessions. Had they attended to these things, they should have lived by them. They would have been a holy, a healthy, and a happy people. Folks, that's all God wanted for them, the children of Israel. And that's all he wants. Well, I'm saying that's not all he wants for us, but that is part of what God wants for us, that we might be a holy people, a happy people, and a healthy people. Now, don't think by any means that Adam Clark is preaching a message of a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, because that's not what he's proclaiming. Nor neither was that's what this text is teaching us, even though he says he wants them to be holy, happy, and healthy. Holy in that they make no true intimacy and fellowship with God. Healthy in that their relationship with God might be healthy, and the relationship with others would be healthy. And happy, that we may be happy, joyful, and most of all that our sins have been forgiven. Remember what Nehemiah said? He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's not forget this morning what he has given to us. But what you say, what statutes, what commandments has he given me? Well, I'm told that we're told about, dare I say, an 11th commandment. By this, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus goes on to say, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. I wonder, is whenever, God willing, whenever this whole lockdown lifts and we return back to the fellowship and we begin to sit back in our normal seats, dare I say it, will we have a fresh new love for one another? Now, I can't energize, exercise this gift of love within me. I don't have that ability, nor neither of you. But I am convinced the only way I can receive this godlike love, this what's known as agape or agape love, A-G-A-P, the only way, and dare I say it, now you might not agree with me, but I am convinced the only way this love is going to change my life is by me taking time at a place called Calvary and just pondering, thinking, considering his great love for me. And then he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Oh, that we might have and we might fulfill this commandment, and God would give us the grace and the help and the strength in our lives to do it. He gave them the Sabbath. In Egypt, Israel had no Sabbath. They worked 7 days a week. They labored hard, they labored long, but the Bible doesn't teach us to labor 7 days a week. In fact, I'm going as far as to say that working 7 days a week is not right. It's actually a sin. The Bible and the scripture endorses, even in creation, a day of rest. And the Lord himself labored himself. I mean, as he created the world, he took a day off known as the Sabbath. Now, we know within our fellowship there are those who have jobs of necessity. The farmer must still feed his animals and milk his cows. The fireman can't just stop work putting out fires because it's a Sunday. The doctor and nurses can't stop administering medication and health care because it's a Sunday. So it's jobs of necessity. But can I say to you, the Geneva Bible Note says these words, keeping the Sabbath holy means meditating in spiritual rest by hearing God's word and resting from worldly labours. There has to be a day of rest in our lives. What reason and why did God endorse this in our lives? Why? That we might be physically, spiritually and psychologically renewed. Because he knew we needed it. Thirdly, as I finish, they forgot where God was taking them. See, God had promised Israel the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they forgot it. Why were they in tents? Because, why did Israel live in tents? Because God was taking them a new city. Let's not forget this morning where God is taking us. Taking us to a city whose builder and maker is God himself. City to whom the scripture says the gates are made of pearl and the walls are made of diamonds and precious stone. Here they're precious, but there they're, dare I say it, they're just ordinary stones, because we'll not be taken up with the pearls and the diamonds in heaven. We'll be taken up with that man. That man, Christ Jesus in Emmanuel's land. That man who is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. It's a new day. It's Thursday morning. Let's not be forgetful of where he's brought us from, what he's given to us, and where he is taking us. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for your tender mercies toward us in this new day. Thank you for an opportunity to pray for one another. And oh, we pray, Lord, even as a fellowship, that you may give us a heart, hearts of agape love for each other. It's easy, Lord, to love those that we like. It's not always easy to love those that maybe we don't maybe see eye to eye with, or there's a personality clash. But gracious Lord, help us to spend time today at Calvary and see the great love you had for us. Remember those in the front line, whether it be the doctors and nurses in hospital, whether it be those that are out doing other tasks that have to be done. Keep your hand upon them. Remember those within our fellowship who are unwell. Dare I say it, those in the valley of the shadow of death, that you bless them with a very special portion of your presence. And thank God for your kiss of peace upon the heart of man when we know you as our Saviour. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear people, and have yourself a great day. God bless.